Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith Podcast, your source for coverage, opinions, and coaching of underdog stuff in politics, culture, and personal life. Play it, subscribe to it, leave a review, and most importantly, enjoy it. Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do every week here at WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Every week you get coverage, opinions, and coaching around underdog stuff in politics, culture, and personal life. The uns, the unavoidable, the uninhibited, the unbelievable, the unjust. The underrated, the you get it by now, underdog stuff in society and culture. And to take you on that journey every week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, consultant, coach, and on-air personality. Also, to take you on this journey, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you just saw her enter the frame, Asha Davis.
Hi.
Award-winning advertising executive.
Yeah.
And comedy writer.
Yeah.
And proud Torontonian.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to shout out Toronto, I got to shout out the city of brotherly love. Shout out to Philadelphia, my hometown. And as always in the studio, on the Underdog Stuff team is here too. We have Kirsten Magwood in the building, TV producer and film director. And on the ones and twos, Marlon, a.k.a. MDOT, holding it down. Today's show, the theme is Words with Friends, Part 2. How do you say that in French?
Part deux.
And how you say it in Spanish?
Part dos.
Okay, all those things. Part two, Words with Friends, the words and phrases that describe the week in politics, culture, and our personal lives. Plus, we have a special guest today who will be stopping through, and that is Intellect, a rapper, writer, and producer. He's joining us in the second hour. And if you're wondering, well, what do you mean second hour? It's because Underdog Stuff has summer hours today.
Yes.
Our normal 1 to 2 is going to happen. We're going to do all the things we normally do on the show, but we also get some bonus time and we'll have summer hours. And we also have a special guest to join us in the second hour.
2 hours is always better than one, right?
Yeah. Two is always better than one, right?
Or is that just what she said?
Maybe we'll get into that in the bonus hour. The great debate. Some questions are age old, and that might be one of them. Although in football, there is a saying that if you have two quarterbacks, then you don't have the right one. Because the key is to find a great one quarterback, the franchise that you can count on.
You kind of need a backup. I'm all about backup plans, man. If you don't have a backup plan, what happens when plan A gets knocked down by good defense?
Fair enough. And while people may be thinking, I thought it was politics, culture, and personal life and not sports, later today we will talk about sports because sports has collided with politics and culture.
And as well about the quarterback position.
Yes, someone's been victimized, and we will get into that later on. If you want to join the conversation, you can comment online at Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, GregoryNeesmith.
Yes, ladies, if you marry him, you will have that many letters in your name, too.
It'll be worth it.
That's what he said.
Yes, and Jesus knows my heart. And with that said, let's jump into today's show. Some of the topics we will cover, Donald Trump, because it's hard not to cover Donald Trump. We will also talk about the NAACP.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it'll make sense as we go on.
Find out what it means to me? Oh, no, that's R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Okay, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, and we need to put some respect on the NAACP.
Exactly.
We'll also talk about Michael Vick and Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also talk about Ivanka Trump.
Ivanka, what's she got to do with this?
Oh, she's made in America.
Isn't her mom from, like, Eastern Europe?
Well, and so are some of the merchandise she makes, too. But we'll get into that later on in the show. Made in America Week was this week. Anyway, let's start off the show like we always do with the unavoidable news stories of the week. And it's Words with Friends, Part 2. And we like to kick off each story with a word or phrase that describes the topic.
Yeah.
This one will be first unavoidable story, New York Times.
New York Times.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So our Twitter in chief became the loose lips in chief.
A.K.A. Colt 45.
Yes. Agent Orange gave an interview. You know, first of all, Donald Trump doesn't do press conferences anymore.
No, you notice those daily press briefings have come to a close, right? Yeah, he Ooh. Does not.
No, we'll talk about that, too. But for whatever reason, he did an interview with the New York Times that was both recorded and written up.
Right. Like, so basically, for those who don't know, it was three New York Times reporters that were sort of granted the opportunity to interview President Trump. And sort of going into the meeting, it was going to be sort of an off the record conversation with opportunities for him to be off on the record. And while they were in there, he basically said, no, put this on the record. I want this to be attributed to me. So there's, and you could kind of tell with the way that the interviewers were asking the questions that they were almost, they had rehearsed how they were going to get him to say certain things, I think.
Oh, and he fell for it.
Oh, let's let people decide for themselves.
All right. So the first topic that was covered in the interview, the never ending saga of the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yes.
Trump and the Republicans' attempt to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, or affectionately known as Obamacare.
Repeal and replace the one job that Republicans really had to do.
7 years in the making.
Basically.
And guess what?
What?
They still can't get it done.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that they can't get it done. People should be very happy about that.
Well, he went on the record of talking about this idea of he still believes a plan can happen, and that the Senate should pass one of the most unpopular bills ever, and that it's the promise that he made to Americans, right? The promise to repeal Obamacare so they can pay higher premiums and have less access to health care insurance.
Oh, is that how he sold it?
No, but that's the reality of it.
Right. I don't think he really understands how health care or health insurance has to work.
No, but he does.
Does he?
Because I remember him being quoted as saying, healthcare is more complicated than he thought. He understands how complicated it is.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Understanding how complicated something is and understanding that thing are two different things.
Yeah, so we will keep an eye on this. I am hopeful that obviously this bill does not pass. It looks to be stuck. And we'll see what happens.
Well, basically, just so that people know, he basically thinks that health insurance is basically like life insurance. He doesn't understand the difference. So a quote from that interview was that he actually said, so pre-existing conditions are a tough deal because you're basically saying that from the moment the insurance, from the moment you get insurance, you're 21 years old, you start working and you're paying like $12 a year for insurance. And by the time you're 70, you get a nice plan. I don't think there's anybody that has healthcare that only pays $12 a year for their healthcare. For the average premium, just for people that know, the average premium for a single person who gets healthcare from an employer last year was $536. And usually you got to pay about 20% of that. Which is still about 100 and change a month.
Yep.
And for people that don't get it from a health insurance, for people that don't get health care from their company or whatnot, then a mid-range silver plan is usually about $365 if you're 30 and upwards of $900 if you're 60. So, and that's a month, not a year.
And in both cases, more than if you had health care through your employer.
Yeah.
Which, and I know we won't get into this in this specific show, but I've always been curious as to why health care has to be with a job.
Well, in America, it does. In Canada, it doesn't. In Canada, our country makes sure that nobody dies because they're sick.
Yeah, to me, it's just disturbing. There should be a way for all Americans to pay into access to health insurance and affordable health care that doesn't matter whether or not you have a
That's
job.
That's what universal health care is.
No, I know. It's just still silly to me that we're debating.
Yeah.
An issue that actually isn't solving the bigger problem.
We talked about this last week. This is one of the only developed countries in the entire world that doesn't have universal health care. Anyways, yes. Let's go on. So what else did he talk about?
Crazy enough. And this, and in any normal week, this his comments about healthcare would have been the big story.
Exactly.
However, yeah. It's Donald Trump. And this interview and healthcare was actually not the big story. One of them was Donald Trump talking about his team, and specifically Jeff Sessions, Jeff Beauregard.
Is Beauregard still on his team now?
Well, interesting you would say that. Let's play clip one, Trump talking about Jeff Beauregard Sessions.
Sessions gets the job. Right after he gets the job, he recuses himself.
Was that a mistake?
Well, Sessions should have never recused himself. And if he was going to recuse himself, he should have told me before he took the job, and I would have picked somebody else.
He gave you no heads up at all in any sense.
Zero. Okay. So Jeff Sessions takes the job, gets into the job, recuses himself. I then have, which frankly, I think is very unfair to the president. How do you take a job and then recuse yourself? If he would have recused himself before the job, I would have said, thanks, Jeff, but I can't, you know, I'm not going to take it. It's extremely unfair, and that's a mild word, to the president. So he recuses himself.
Donald Trump. You know, underdogs, one thing to note about what Trump just did, in your everyday life, if you are the manager and you have a team, one thing you should never do is publicly throw them under the bus. Just don't do it. It's not a good practice. And Donald Trump, in that instance, throws his employee, the guy who works for him, Jeff Sessions, under the bus.
All the way under the bus. And for a guy that talks so highly of loyalty and the loyalty that he expects, the way that he literally, like, picked this guy up and threw him in front of the bus from the movie Speed. Like, literally, that's what happened.
And to your point, yes, shout out to Keanu Reeves. First time we've ever referenced Keanu on underdog stuff. But given his acting skills, he is an underdog to have made it that far in the world of entertainment. And shout out to Keanu Reeves. And on top of that, you think about loyalty. Jeff Sessions was the first legitimate politician to actually be crazy enough to lean out and support Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He was one of the first legitimate, like, non-business guy dealing, vouch for me, like an actual senator. He was one of the first people to come out and do this in February of 2016.
And then this is what he gets.
Now, yeah, and sorry.
First of all, let's break down a couple things. If you listen to Trump, it's almost as if he believes that Jeff Sessions recused himself from the job of attorney general. He only recused himself from one responsibility inside of all the things the attorney general does. The only thing that Jeff Sessions recused himself was the duty of the investigation about collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign. He didn't recuse himself of all these immigration laws that keep coming out, the travel ban that they've been trying to push through, and all the other things he's been doing, telling municipalities that maybe they'll repeal some of the Civil Rights Act stuff that they've been doing with policing and things like that. Jeff Sessions didn't recuse himself from being attorney general.
No, Jeff Sessions recused himself from basically speaking about the Russia investigation because probably unlike a lot of the people that the non-politicians that are in sort of the Trump administration, he actually has working knowledge of political and laws, politics and laws. And he was like, I'm going to get myself in too much trouble if I actually participate in this. And one thing that I think Mr. Trump forgot was that how could possibly have Jeff Sessions recused himself before he was appointed when the Russia investigation hadn't started yet?
True. And speaking of how could Trump forget, Jeff Sessions has been forgetting a few things, too.
Oh.
Which is even more the reason why I believe Jeff Sessions did the right thing to recuse himself.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jeff can't seem to remember that he's been meeting with Russian officials between the time he's endorsed Trump to now the time being Attorney General.
That's true. So not to my recollection is his favorite phrase.
Well, he can't seem to recall a thing about Russia, which is odd to me. Now, with that said, though, this is a bit of Trump, I think, telling on himself.
Yeah.
Because why are you mad, bro?
Tell him why you mad, son.
He's mad because Jeff Sessions recusing himself meant that he didn't have someone who was loyal to him leading the investigation between his campaign and Russia.
Exactly. He didn't have an impartial party leading this investigation that he could threaten with.
He
honestly thinks, oh, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'll fire you. Is that how America works?
It's how Trump thinks America
exactly.
works. But unfortunately, and that's why Jeff recused himself, it's not. Because the Attorney General not only reports to the president, they also report to the American public and the Constitution and the laws of the country.
You think?
Which are a little larger than one crazy Agent Orange.
Exactly. Yes. Thank goodness for checks and balances.
Yes. But as if that wasn't enough.
There's more. And there's more.
But wait, there's more. And it has to do with, actually, the word or phrase we should have used for this is recall.
I don't recall, sir.
Because Donald Trump couldn't recall how complicated healthcare was.
Mm-mm.
Jeff Sessions can't recall that he's met with Russian officials. And Donald Trump Jr. Can't seem to recall that he met with people. And then when he did, how many people were there?
Yeah. And we talked a little bit about that last week. And it's interesting to hear what Trump said about those emails in terms of, you talk about loyalty. I guess he must be somewhat loyal to his son, right?
He is. And let's play clip two and Donald Trump talking about his son and emails.
I didn't look at it very closely, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I just heard there was an email requesting a meeting or something. Yeah, requesting a meeting that they have information on Hillary Clinton. And I said, I mean, that's standard political stuff.
Did you know at the time that they had the email?
No, I didn't know anything about them.
But you know, you gave
us. It must have been a very unimportant meeting because I never even heard about it.
No one told you a word, nothing.
Nobody
I know we talked about this in plane.
Nobody told me. I didn't know that.
You know,
it was a very unimportant, sounded like a very unimportant meeting.
The day you clinched the nomination with New Jersey and California and the primaries and so forth, you give a speech that night saying you're going to give a speech about Hillary Clinton's corrupt dealings with Russia and other countries. And that comes just 3 hours after Don Jr.
Number one, I made
people wondered about the timing.
Many of those speeches.
Yeah.
I go after her all the time.
American. Donald Trump Jr. And, you know, I get so worked up about this and this emails and stuff like that. I just, so much so that I think we need to take a quick pause. And we're going to talk a little more about Donald Trump, these emails, and this New York Times interview, and take some of your Facebook Live comments after this quick music break.
How you have treated me these last 2 weeks. And that apology is not accepted. Because I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to swallow gum, and I'm here to take names. Okay, we'll do a couple questions. Go. Glenn Thrush, New York Times. Boo! Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the travel ban on Muslims.
Yeah, it's not a ban.
I'm sorry?
It's not a ban. The travel ban is not a ban, which makes it not a ban.
But you just called it a ban.
Because I'm using your words. You said ban. You said ban. Now I'm saying it.
The
back
president
to you.
Tweeted, and I quote, if the ban were announced with a 1 week notice.
Yeah, exactly. You just said that. He's quoting you. It's your words.
That is what, as Daryl referenced, what will Saturday Night Live do? What will Jenny McCarthy do?
That's not Jenny McCarthy. Her name's Melissa McCarthy. Jenny McCarthy was a former Playboy model. Get your head out the gutter, son.
What will she do, too? What will they both do? Has she ever been a host on Saturday Night Live?
No, she is not. She's famous for being an anti-vaxxer right now. Anyways, well, there's a new person. They have replaced him. They haven't just replaced
Gucci.
Spicy. Is that Scaramucci's new nickname? Are we going to call him Gucci?
Gucci.
Yes. Okay, can you tell us about the new,
yes,
the new guy?
So Sean Spicer's job is no longer vacant. We will have, as the new director of communications for the White House, Anthony Scaramucci.
A.K.A. Gucci.
Gucci, a fellow New Yorker and a lover of Trump. And he loves Trump.
And a fellow non-politician, if I'm correct.
He's a businessman. He's been on CNBC. He's worked, believe, on Wall Street. You know, I think if Donald Trump looks in the mirror, I think the guy he thinks he sees is probably Anthony Scaramucci when he looks in the mirror.
Okay, so.
Smooth talker.
Okay, so we have another person who's never worked in politics being in control of one of the biggest jobs in politics.
Yeah, well, he was on CNBC before.
Okay, that's a good qualification.
Yeah. You communicate when you're on TV.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And then the press secretary, because Sean had both roles, the press secretary will be Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I'm pretty sure she's been primed for that over the past couple months.
Yes, now people may not have seen her because we no longer get the daily press briefings on TV, but you've heard her voice. She's been filling in for Sean for the past few weeks.
Yep.
And doing a great job of carrying on the tradition of not answering questions, often misspeaking on behalf of the president because they don't communicate much, and oftentimes telling some alternative facts.
Yeah.
She's qualified to be the press secretary for the Trump administration.
It seems like it.
Yes. So keep an eye out. Well, actually keep a listen out because they don't really broadcast those things anymore. They just show them as audio clips. Mm. With that, those are the unavoidable news stories of the week. Spicy.
The blacks.
And New York Times. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have more underdog stuff to come. We still haven't done the uninhibited Q&A. Asha has a question that I don't know what it is, and I have to answer it. We still have summer hours today. And in the second hour, we have the journey of an underdog, Intellect, rapper, writer, and producer to join us. And more of your comments online and questions, too. More underdog stuff after this quick break. Back to underdog stuff. Today's show, Words with Friends Part 2.
WWF.
Yes. And in my head, I thought WTF when you said that.
Oh, no.
That's like a different acronym.
So like the World Wrestling Federation.
Yes, and Words with Friends.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. The words and phrases that describe the week in politics, culture, and personal life.
Yeah.
That's today's theme.
I've been here since the beginning. I know what the theme is.
I know you do. I was just playing around.
And so, what's the next?
The un of the week.
Oh, wait. We're already at the un of the week?
Yes.
We passed Spicy already? We're done talking about him? I miss him. I still miss him, man.
Is there anything else you or the Facebook audience wanted to say about Spicy?
Well, I wanted to say that Spicy's farewell tweet, it's been an honor and a privilege to serve POTUS and this amazing country, and I will continue my service through August.
That's it.
And we will miss you, Spicy, through August and beyond.
That, you know, I will say, before we get to the end of the week, that actually does remind me. You know one thing I used to hate doing when I worked in corporate America, my 16 years marketing career? That farewell email.
Yeah.
Like when you were leaving a role or leaving the company, and I remember I used to sit there like, what am I going to write? I got to find a quote. I got to sound all gracious. The thing, how long should it be? It can't be too short. I wish there was Twitter back when I was having to leave roles. Because 140 characters, you don't have much room to say anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss y'all. It was nice. Bye. And actually, no one thinks that you being silly, curt, or being like disingenuous. They're just like, yo, he only had 140 characters.
So, he said what he could say.
Yeah, like, I know he wanted to say more, but he's like, I'm out. Miss y'all. Love you. Thank you.
Speaking of advice.
I'm just saying, I wish there was Twitter when I was leaving roles in the past. Because I can sound real genuine in 140 characters.
Right. Well, I know someone who wished there wasn't Twitter.
Who?
Mike Vick.
Well, that's because this next story, the un of the week, the word is victimized. And we'll get into that right now. Michael Vick, former NFL quarterback and ex-felon.
Yeah.
He was convicted for a crime related to dog fighting that he was a part of.
Yeah, I know. Felony just, I mean, I love animals, so I guess it's a felony. But yes, he was dog fighting and went to jail.
Yes. And he was a very good quarterback.
Extremely amazing quarterback.
I think the first quarterback to get a $100 million deal.
I had his jersey. I sewed it into a dress. I was a fan with the Falcons. Yeah, I was all about that Vic life.
Sewed it into a dress?
Yeah, I used to do that with my favorite players.
Do you have a Cam Newton dress?
No.
He's fashion forward. So I've seen him in a romper before.
I do have a Rasheed Wallace dress, though.
Shout out to the 215 in the Philadelphia. I played against Rasheed. Shout out to Rasheed Wallace and the Public League, Gratz, Parkway High School. And now you got me on a basketball
time.
Okay,
we can talk about right. Mikey.
So Michael Vick wanted to offer some help, advice to his boy. Like, mm-hmm. He knows Colin Kaepernick, who everyone knows by now, an NFL quarterback, who's still looking to be a quarterback, who was brought to national notoriety for his stance he took against policing and the interaction with police in the black community and taking stance on wanting more justice coming out of policing.
Exactly. And people that know Michael Vick's story know that after the incident occurred and everything sort of came out about what he was doing with the dogs, he was pretty much blackballed within the NFL as well. So after he served his time, there was a number of teams that just would not touch him with a 10-foot pole. And so I guess that's why somebody thought that his opinion on this subject was worthwhile.
Well, not just anybody. Jason Whitlock wanted to hear his opinion. And if folks don't remember, Jason Whitlock is an African-American sports commentator and writer who is on Fox Sports. And he's been known to throw some shade at folks, especially when it comes to issues of race and sports.
Oak tree level shade, I would say.
Yes. So with Jason Whitlock, you're about to hear a clip of Jason Whitlock, which is clip number 7. Jason Whitlock interviewing Michael Vick. And then you'll hear Michael Vick offer some advice on how Colin Kaepernick can do one thing. This one thing will get Colin Kaepernick a job in the NFL again. Let's go to clip number 7.
Mike, you went through a situation where, for lack of a better word, toxic, coming out of prison, a lot of controversy around you because of the dog fighting deal. Tony Dungy wrapped his arms around you and help get you back into the NFL. That's what I want to see from Colin Kaepernick, a football person, him get involved with. And I think he needs to actually talk and put his name on what he feels about the NFL and wanting to play. I think he needs to speak for himself.
I think he really does. First thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not up here to try to be politically correct, but, you know, even if he puts cornrows in it, I don't think he should represent himself, you know, in that way in terms of, you know, just the hairstyle. Just go clean cut. You know, why not? You know, you're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue.
That's a fascinating thing to hear you say, Mike.
That he needs to do is, you know, just try to be presentable. I mean, look, so all the social media stuff that he's doing, look, we get it. We understand it. It's time for, you know, Colin to step up in a different way. And, you know, I think primarily the reason why he's not signed to a team right now is because of the last two seasons and not being as productive as everybody, you know.
Let me just ask you a question, because I kind of chuckled when you said he had cut his hair, because I just thought you didn't like the hairstyle. But you're actually saying that it represents something.
Yeah, I just think perception and image is everything. And listen, it's not the Colin Kaepernick that we know. We've known, you know, since he entered the National Football League. And I'm just going off my personal experiences, but listen, I love the guy to death, you know, but I want him to also succeed on and off the field, and this has to be a start for him.
We got Michael.
Well.
Well, then.
so much to unpack in that unbelievable clip.
It's fascinating that you'd say that.
I see you channeling your Jason Whitlock there.
Please, no.
All right. I'm pissed. Because...
Can we say that? Do we need the 7-second delay or?
I'm upset.
Okay. No, I'm joking.
There to think that hair is going to be the way back for Colin Kaepernick to get a job doesn't even make sense to me. I've heard people say things like, it's the type of brotherly advice you would give a sibling of yours. Or the things that parents say to their kids, like, you know, clean yourself up and be ready to go into that interview. I've heard people say those things. Mike Vick's not applying for a job at PricewaterhouseCoopers. The last time I checked, the NFL doesn't have a hair policy. A hair conformity cultural norm. And for Vic to say that his hair, which represents Colin's self-expression, which likely represents to people someone being for a cause, there is no place in his advice, in my opinion, for it to have to come down to or even include his hair.
I mean, I agree. I completely agree. And I think it's important for anybody that's sort of a fan of football that kind of followed the 49ers for any sort of period of time recently, you would know that when Cap first started, when he first came into the league, he was clean cut. His hair was cut. You know what I mean? And when he decided to use his platform as a way to speak out against what he was seeing in the world, that's when he's decided to not be, you know, in the image of what other people want him to be. For the most part, he's choosing to wear his hair the way he wants to. He's choosing to say the things that he wants to say. He's choosing to use the notoriety that he's gained for something that's important to him. And I think it's really important for people to understand that there's a huge difference between Colin Kaepernick and Michael Vick. As much as I was and for the most part am a fan of Michael Vick, you know, Colin Kaepernick is not a criminal. He never went to jail. He didn't do anything that was against the law. He merely took a knee to protest racial injustices that are going on in the U.S.
And I think that is a point that is well said, and one that I've heard from the likes of Shannon Sharp, who is a former football player who is on a show called The Undisputed. And I agree. I don't want us to equate or compare Michael Vick to Colin Kaepernick.
Exactly.
Because he doesn't have an image to reshape. He doesn't have coming off of some type of criminal activity to reform from. And, you know, I think speaking of words, precedent comes to mind. Because some of my friends have been asking me, like, why do I care about this issue? What's the big deal? Why shouldn't he just cut his hair if it'll help him get a job? What's the big deal? I don't believe there should be a precedent set, for one, that we compare people who legally and peacefully protest to criminals,
mm-hmm.
and that they should then have to fall in line and reform themselves in some type of look. And secondly, there is no hair policy in the NFL.
Exactly.
And so as a result, people who argue that he should look presentable for the job, people wear their hair however they want in the NFL. So this isn't that situation. I don't want to set that precedent. And I think folks like Vic, before he apologized, will be on the wrong side of history. I think back to the corporate setting, which I was in for 16 years. We used to believe that having a suit on and having offices that were the size of your level translated into being a successful business. And then now, people wear jeans and t-shirts to work and sit in one big room together.
Exactly.
Which means I get it. We're human and society. We used to think that certain things mattered in terms of success and talent and intelligence, like having on a suit and having a wall in your office and a door. We would be on the wrong side of history, and I don't want anyone to think that hairstyle is going to be what does it. Now, do I want to get rid of all norms? No, I want people to still wash up before they come to work. I don't think you should have your hair in front of your eyes. Like, you need to be able to make eye contact with people. But braids, locks, afros, come on, man. Like, this shouldn't even be a discussion at all. At all.
Yeah, and I mean, there's players that have come to his defense. You know, if I can wear a dirty mullet, then why does Cap's hair matter? You know, I think that it's definitely nice to see other athletes that are not of color rallying around the situation as well. But yeah, this was really unfortunate.
Yeah, and then I'll just say one last thing on this topic, which I haven't heard people talk a lot about, but it continues to be on my mind, which is he needs to change his afro. I think about everybody gets to wear their hair the way they want, except for the quarterback. And that only as recently as 20, 30 years ago, there was still a bit of, can a black man run the lead position on an NFL team? Do they have the intelligence enough to do it? And I don't want this to turn into be clean cut to be code for there's still a look that you have to be accepted for the quarterback position, but everybody else can still do whatever they want. With that, we're going to take a quick break because we get to announce the station that we're on. We got to do that station ID stuff. Because we're at the top of the hour and we're about to go into summer hours and we have bonus time. So we'll play a quick station ID and then continue more with Underdog Stuff, Words with Friends Part 2. Any more comments? Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith. Joined in studio by the Underdog Stuff team, Asha Davis,
hi,
Kirsten Magwood, and M. Dot, a.k.a. Marlon. Always a lively time. Marlon, you didn't tell me we were coming back from break. I'm joking. You did tell me we were coming back from break. You did. I'm just laughing at myself. That was my bad. Shout out to all the folks who are listening on WATR, riding around New York City right now. We appreciate you. Or listening on WATR.org online. Always a live audio stream there. Or if you're watching us on Facebook Live, Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. One thing that I didn't mention earlier, and is of note because we're in what's called Studio B instead of Studio A, I've seen the phone light blinking in the other studio, and we do not have the phone lines up today while we're in Studio B. So if you've been calling in, we appreciate you, but the phone line should be open soon and hopefully by the next show. So shout out to all the folks who wanted to call in, but you can always give us your online comments if you go to facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. No, Asha, I'm not going to say all the letters.
And I know just before the break we were talking about Michael Vick and Colin Kaepernick, and we didn't really have time to play all of the clips. But one thing I do want to acknowledge is that Michael Vick did apologize. You know, he did come back out and he did say that he felt like what he said was taken out of context and he just wants to help Colin Kaepernick. He's not a general manager. He's not the guy who makes decisions on getting him signed. And he said he's truly sorry for what was said and that he should have used a better choice of words.
Shout out to Mike Vick for taking a step back, figuring out what happened. And, you know, he has a right to stick by what he said or to change. And he's chosen to apologize and walk back that statement from earlier the week. And note to self, don't hang with Jason Whitlock. It gets you in trouble every time. All right, with that, we're moving on to the underreported story of the week. Your boy, your man's in them.
is it underreported if it's your boy and your man's in them? I don't think anything to do with Trump is underreported.
Oh, I bet you for some people this one is.
Okay.
Did you know what week this was? I mean, you know, because we get ready for the show together. But you out there, did you know what week this was?
Which week? MIA?
Made in America week.
Missing in action week.
It was Made in America week. The Trump administration declared this week Made in America week.
Yeah.
A celebration, a week to showcase U.S. products from all 50 states, and a proclamation from Trump, the importance of making products in America.
Yeah, that's really important.
See, it can be underreported because people were probably talking about the New York Times interview. Or what's up with healthcare?
Yeah, so now you're reporting, because I'm sure this is what they want people to report on. So why don't you say what's important about this?
What's important about this is that we celebrate products that are made in America.
Right. By someone who makes the majority of their money outside of America.
Oh, so the word for this story could be duplicity?
Sure.
To say one thing and do another?
Okay, yeah.
Because Donald Trump actually doesn't make a lot of his products in America.
He sure does not. If you look at any Trump good and look where is it made, you'd be hard-pressed to find one that's made in America.
You would. And some would argue that he should start Made in America Week at home.
With his own company, yeah.
But not just his own company, with his fam.
Oh, that's terrible. That's... You know what? It's okay. That's getting into a whole nother.
No, but
because none of his wives have been American women, you know that, right? Like, I don't want to get the go.
Hold on, I wasn't going there.
But that's what it sounds
No. I wasn't.
All of his children are like mixed race from like Eastern European countries.
No. I wasn't going there. I was going to the fact that Ivanka Trump, his daughter, who is known to show up at things like this, right? Tech Week, Business Week, Made in America Week. It was reported that she wasn't around this week.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Well, she has a company.
Right.
That makes clothing, accessories, and stuff like that. So you would think this is an awesome press opportunity for her, right? Be with her dad, be up in the White House, talk about Made in America. But guess what? It's been reported that Ivanka's Trump brand of apparel and accessories aren't just made out of the country. They're exclusively made outside of the United States in countries like Indonesia, China, Vietnam, Ethiopia, and Bangladesh.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't see Ivanka.
Yeah, because her goods are low-priced goods. And I don't think people... Well, actually, no. Because things that are high-priced are still made out there and then just marked up.
Folks,
so what am I
saying? They're taking that margin to the bank.
What am I saying? Yeah.
Yeah. So for folks who were wondering what was happening this week and you might have missed it, it was Made in America Week. So shout out to all the folks who make stuff in America.
Yeah. And if you really do want things made in America, you have to be prepared to pay 10 times the price for them. So there would be no more fast fashion $5 t-shirts and things like that.
I'm all for folks getting to make stuff wherever they want to. I just think this is another example of the Trumps not being up to speed for the task of being the administration. They should have been ready with either plans they have to make stuff more in America or to explain to the public why we actually don't manufacture all the things we want in America. And they didn't either.
Okay.
They just kind of ducked it. Shout out to Made in America Week. Underreported.
Well, Simone agrees with you. She says true. So.
Yeah. I mean, I love another example would be foreign automakers who manufacture some of their vehicles here in the U.S. Why? Because the U.S. is a large market, and it's just better to manufacture them here and ship them around the country as opposed to making them overseas. Like, we get to open up our minds to the fact that things get to be done globally. And for our sake and other countries' sake, let's work together. Anyway, Made in America Week over. All right, next up, where are we going to next?
I think that we want to get a little coaching from you.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah, and we talk about last week you talked a little bit about Free 99.
Yes, I did.
You know, and I think this is another opportunity to talk about that and to really talk about that in the context of tit for tat from bartering.
Yes.
What? Well, I could say tit for tat. That's not a 7-second delay.
No, but I
didn't say titties for tat.
You just did though. Yeah. I mean, I think it's allowed.
I'm pretty sure it's allowed.
I mean, God know your heart. It is Sunday though. So, you know, I'm just saying, it's be careful. Be careful out here on these airways. The FCC, the streets is watching. Waiting for you to break, make your first mistake.
Mm. Well, all right. Why don't you help me with some coaching right now?
I will. So today's word in the spirit of coaching is barter, a.k.a. Free 99.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of you out there who have side hustles or have something that you want to be your main hustle and are starting some type of business. And oftentimes, one of the things I hear from people are, especially clients, are, I don't have enough money to get help. And that's real. That's natural to feel that way. However, there's ways to get around not having the money to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So one, first, there's free consulting out there.
Hmm.
I've actually used an organization called SCORE before. SCORE.org. And for folks who may not know, they're a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. And they've been doing this for over 50 years and are part of the Small Business Administration.
Mm-hmm.
You can get free support from them to help you write your business plan, to help you figure out your media strategy, all those things. Free 99. And not just somebody off the street, folks who have experience in those specific areas that you need help that are now a little older, they're ending their corporate careers most of the time and looking to give back and help folks in the community.
That's awesome.
SCORE.org is a place to go. Also, another free 99 tip besides using the SCORE organization to start your business, bartering. Anybody know what bartering is?
Yeah, that's tit for tat.
And just don't say the other word.
I won't.
Please don't. Tit for tat is, that's one way to put it. I was about to say, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. But that's even worse than, that's worse than.
I scratch your back.
Anyway, tit for tat, you scratch my back. There's got to be one that. Isn't there a better example of barter besides tit for tat? You scratch my back, I scratch yours.
No, there's not.
All right. Barter is an exchange of your talents for someone else's talents so that y'all both can get something done.
Exactly.
So, for example, if I want to start or launch a website, instead of paying to have it done, I may work with a web developer who may want coaching, and I'm a leadership and life coach. Mm-hmm. So I'll offer them coaching sessions and they'll offer me building my website. Mm-hmm. That would be an example of scratching my back and scratching theirs or tit for tat.
Exactly.
And that is a way around if you don't have the money. One thing we all have is some type of talent or gift.
Value exchange.
Yes. And you can make that. That's what I was looking for. Why?
I knew it the whole time.
I know. So you saved value exchange. Instead, you wanted to say tit for tat. Scratching backs. When value exchange is what I've been looking for this entire time. I would say thank you, but you waited so long.
Only people on Facebook Live can see the dirty looks you're giving me right now. Those are so terrible.
I know. Value exchange. Thank you. Lastly, Free 99, if you're looking to get your business going and looking for assistance where it doesn't cost much or cost anything at all, we talked about score.org.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about bartering, which is tit for tat, scratching backs, or value exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, they can call or email us.
Yeah.
Because we do on-the-spot consulting and coaching when the phone lines are up, which they will be up soon. Or you can always email the show at underdogstuff@gregorynaismith.com or pose your questions in the comments of the Facebook Live. And we'll talk about them on the spot.
Cool.
16 years of corporate experience here, along with coaching experience too.
So speaking of using Underdog Stuff as a way to get help and coaching with business and ideas. You talk a little bit about me being a comedy writer, right?
Yes.
Well, I've got some jokes. I'm wondering, can I work them out with you guys?
Is this going to be tit for tat?
There might be some tat for tit.
Yes, although I don't know in the value exchange, I'll be able to offer
because you can tell me if they're terrible or not.
Okay.
And we also have Kirsten and Marlon here as well. I'm just working out some jokes.
Okay, yes, let's do that. Okay. We'll do a little tit for tat with the comedy writing. And the cool thing is the folks watching along online can give their thoughts too.
Yeah, Facebook, you guys can give me your comments.
Okay, let's go for it.
Okay, so first joke. So we talked a little bit about Sean Spicer resigning, right?
Yes, we did. Spicy.
So Sean Spicer just resigned. When asked why, he claimed, "Despite my spicy disposition, I prefer a milder form of torture."
Okay.
Okay, so that's a no.
I know, but I get it. The foundation is there.
I'll say that's a no.
But the foundation is there, right? So there's something to work with. I love the use of spicy and mild. I see where you're going, okay. Right? Underdogs out there, don't you see where this is where we get to encourage each other?
No, it's okay. It's okay. I will, every comedian vomits on stage sometimes. Okay, here's another one. A new poll indicates that more than 30% of Trump supporters don't believe the Russia scandal is even a thing.
Okay.
When asked for comment, Putin said, "Check again, it's 100% now." Okay, crickets. I will look at
that. Okay, but you inform the audience about polling and where folks are. So they got something. So in the first one, folks now know Spicer's gone. So you can inform, entertain, or inspire, and you are informing right now.
Okay, the next one. So we talked a little bit last week about the G20 summit and Trump being there. So at the G20 summit, it actually came out that Japan's first lady pretended not to speak English to avoid speaking with Trump. Fortunately, he didn't actually notice because women have been faking it with him for years.
That's a good one.
Okay. What? I'm going to end on a high note then.
I would like to say, Asha, I think all your jokes were very funny, but you know how jokes go. You kind of have to slide them in the conversation. When you pre-announce the funny is coming, it's like you're bracing yourself for it. It doesn't really work. But I think with the right timing, all of those were really stellar jokes. Quite funny.
Yes, they're very true. All good stuff. And I love
no,
that
you... No, it's okay, guys. That's okay. I'm okay with one out of three.
You funny,
okay.
Baby. You funny, funny
it's
girl.
Okay. It's okay.
You're award-winning advertising executive and comedy writer. And grateful for you to be a part of the Underdog Stuff team. With that, we are going to take a quick break. And coming up after the break, we have our journey of an underdog guest, Intellect, rapper, writer, and producer in the building to tell us about his journey of going from underdog to contender in the music industry. And later in the show, we still have our word association game to play with all the folks who'll be in studio and closing thoughts to today's show, Words for Friends, Part 2. More underdog stuff and Intellect coming up after this break. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff, live radio show and podcast. Today's show, Words with Friends, Part 2. The words and phrases that describe what's going on in politics, culture, and our personal life. And we also have summer hours. We're normally 1 to 2, but we're going 2 to 3 today. And we have a special guest in the building.
Hey.
Intellect.
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. Appreciate you in the building, rapper, writer, and producer. And I want to set the stage for folks. I want them to first know how we know each other.
Kian.
I'm gonna play something
all right,
that
cool.
We know, but maybe all the underdogs listening and watching don't know.
Word, yo, check me out. Welcome to Word, a positive station focused on truth and unity. By working together, we can save our community. We going over the issues that really matter and show the youth that the hood is something they can't get out of. Download the app and you can listen to us live, whether relaxing at your house or you're working your 9 to 5. We provide a perspective from both sides of the story. 900 AM Word is the perfect start to your morning. Different guests every show that we think you should know. Not just the same 5 songs back to back in a row. The 3 youth of this told me come down and spit a flow. 30 minutes later, I'm on the intro for the show. But yo, this is station that be keeping it real. Call into our lines and tell us just how you feel. Here giving you the news that applies to you. The best black talk station, I wouldn't lie to you. Word.
Word up. It's Keaton Nichols and Gregory Neesmith live on another Word Up.
Word up. What you know about that?
Know a little song.
So for folks who may not know, Intellect was the person you just heard rhyming on what was the intro to the Word Up show.
Right.
Which was a show that covered politics, black culture, and sports on WRD FM and AM radio station in my hometown of Philadelphia.
Right, they just switched to FM.
Yes, they did, 96.1.
Matter of fact, I was the last musical guest they had on before I switched to FM. I was like, Keaton, you really couldn't wait like a week until the switch.
And so it's funny you say that because just so folks know, the voice you heard at the end of that intro was that of Keaton Nichols.
Right, right.
Introducing the Word Up show where I was co-producer and co-host with Keaton. And to your point, I actually got to guest host the lounge a couple weeks ago.
Right, yeah, you told me.
On 96.1 FM.
I'm trying to get like you.
I know. See, so you, I know what you're saying because I was excited. I was like, oh yeah, this is the first time I've been on FM radio in Philadelphia instead of 900 AM.
Okay, but you know what, guys? We here in Harlem. We on 90.3 WHCR. Holla. Holla. No, we in New York today. We in this state.
Yeah. So what we wanted to talk about today while we're in Harlem is the journey of an underdog of making it in the music industry.
Oh, man.
And talking about the whole idea of when to stay and when to go.
That's a good question.
Yeah, so we're going to get into all that.
All right.
But I want to start before today.
Okay.
Give me 2 numbers to these 2 questions.
Okay.
The age that you first knew you wanted to be an artist? And the second number is the age when you first did something as Intellect.
Okay.
Start with those 2 numbers first.
I've been rapping since I was like 16, you know, messing around in school and stuff like that. And then continued after I graduated high school. I wanted to do music, so like I moved out here and stuff to New York, and that's really what gave me more power and ambition and determination to do this, because I went from being in Pennsylvania to a place that didn't have that many rappers around to a place where everybody raps. So I think when I really wanted to be an artist, it wasn't till I was maybe like 21 or 22. I really didn't get serious about it until a few years ago.
But that's where I want to go first. So
right.
16,
okay,
first time you knew you wanted to be an artist.
Yeah.
21, when you actually started to take actions to be one.
Right. That's so, when I started doing shows and stuff like that. So when I was 21, that's when I was, you know, really Intellect. I came up with the name Intellect in high school, but I didn't really start using it as a rap moniker and stuff until like, you know, until I was like 20, something like that.
So for the underdogs out there, because I think we all go through this, there's this, I want something.
Right.
I'm 16.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, I wait, and not as a wrong thing or right thing,
mm-hmm.
but I wait 5 years
mm-hmm.
until 21
mm-hmm.
to go put it in action. What was in your way between 16 and 21 that was holding you back from launching something?
I had to mature and really just get my mind right. And I think a lot of rappers, they just kind of rap and put videos and songs out, and they're like, oh, somebody will discover me, and, you know, that's it. But it doesn't work out like that. You really got to be out there grinding, going to every shows, traveling, spending all your money. Like, it's crazy. I think I lost the question. But
yeah.
Well, the question was literally, and you started to answer something, which was what got in your way between knowing something at 16 and then actually taking action at 21. And part of it was, you say, going through some type of maturity of who you were.
Right. Yeah. I think I just had to, you know, figure out who I was, figure out, you know, really what I wanted to do. Like, when I was in high school, I actually wanted to play football. I wanted to be a professional football player. And then my senior year, my junior year, I switched high schools, and I went from a school that was in playoffs every year to a school that they wouldn't even play me because they had all these older kids. So my junior year, I think, that's when I quit playing football, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do this rap stuff.
Very cool. And now, a couple years later, like, let's say you're 21, you're starting the journey.
Mm-hmm.
What did you ever think at any point of stopping?
I thought about it all the time.
When you say all the time.
All the time.
So that way, if there's people listening right now who are starting their journey in the industry,
right,
and they're like questioning it literally.
You're going to have those thoughts all the time. Unless you're just one of those people that's really lucky enough to somebody just discovers you like off a YouTube video. It's like your first song you ever did. I mean, some people have that luck. I don't have that luck. So I've really had to just, you know, grind it out. But there's, you know, there's times where, you know, you're working a job that you hate. And you're doing this on the side, but this is really what you want to do. So then you're like, damn, you know, this isn't really, nothing's really clicking. Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. Maybe I should just work. And then, you know, I had times like that where I stopped rapping for like a month and it was just focused on working and trying to save money and stuff. But then you're miserable because you're not really chasing your dream. So it's like throughout my life, I have this constant battle of, should I really pursue this and keep doing it? Or should I just kind of give up and be normal? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And there's nothing wrong with just, you know, going to work and all that, you know, but I think certain people, they just have certain ambitions to do certain things. And ever since I was little, I've always wanted to be, you know, hanging out with celebrities and being in movies and, you know.
Well,
I'm a class clown. I've been that dude trying to get attention for a long time, you know what I mean?
You know what's interesting? It's funny because, I mean, Gregory knows this and Kirsten knows, but, like, I used to do music when I was younger. I used to actually be a rapper, like, when I was younger. Pretty much the same ages that you're talking about,
right?
Right. I was doing it. I had mixtapes and albums I was, like,
really
16,
serious.
17, 18.
Where'd you find this?
You know, and, like, but what's interesting is, like, you know, that crossroads when you come to the time in your life where you're like, do I give this up or do I not? Because I know exactly what you're talking about when you're like, yeah, when you're an artist and you're just starting out and you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, you got to pay for yourself to go on the road, to go on these tours, like pressing up your own CDs. Like I was doing all of that.
Everything,
you know what I mean? Every single
money.
Thing. And you got to, like, your little money you're making at your little job when you're 18, like, can barely, you know, support you to do these things.
Student
and it's like
not cheap.
Exactly. And I think what's interesting for me is that, you know, I came to a point probably when I was like about 22, 23, you know, where I was like, okay, I got to make a decision. And I was in, you know, university and that kind of thing. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And for me, luckily, I came across advertising and marketing as a career path, right? And for that, it allowed me to be all of those things that I was doing in music,
right, yeah,
and still get to, like, I mean, when you're making commercials, like, I've met celebrities on my commercial shoots. I've done projects where we're sponsoring events where I get to meet other music artists and
you
DJs and get
niche.
To talk to them and things like that. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, when you think about, it's about sort of, and I've always been surprised at how, like, freestyling can help you in a presentation because you're able to, like, think on your feet.
You
know what I mean? You gotta
yeah.
like improvise, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it's really sort of a lot of the times when, you know, you do music and you have such a special gift of writing and performing and things like that, you don't look at those things as transferable skills, you know?
You don't.
And I was lucky enough to sort of fall into that kind of career and that kind of industry. I was like, oh, there's something that I would like to do besides being like a star. Like that's right. you know, and like, which was like a major like moment for me in life, you know? And I think, you know, it's just really interesting to just kind of hear like different, you know, paths. And I think for anybody listening, you know, if you are doing music and, you know, you've been doing it for a while and you're not sure sort of what to do, don't, if you do end up going a different path, don't give it up because that's sort of who you are inside, you know, and even though, you know, you can transition to another type of career, you're always going to have that gift in your heart, you know?
See, my thing was every time I would actually get it, like, okay, so like last year I was working at FedEx and like I made good money. I was making like $600 a week, but I was barely working. I was only working like I think my shift was like 2 to 5 or 6 or something like that. I didn't work weekends, so I could still do my music stuff. But I hated being there.
Yeah.
I hated my supervisors. I hated all my coworkers because they hated being there. So it was just a building of energy where nobody wanted to be there. And then every time they send you to the office, they have this conversation. It's like, you know, you like working here, don't you? There's not too many other places you can go and make this blah, blah money. And like, you need them.
Exactly.
Right? So at one point, I can't remember what happened. I think I had to do a show and they wanted me to work overtime and I said no. And they laid me off and I had no idea what I was gonna do. And then like the week after, my cousin calls me and he's like, yo, I don't know if you're busy, I don't know if you work or whatever, but this band I know is going on tour and they want me to open for them. And they said it'd be cool if I bring a rapper. So I don't know if you wanna go. I was like, yeah. So I packed my bags, went to Massachusetts. I think the first show was in DC and we did like 26 cities. We got paid, you know what I mean? I got to see a bunch of cities I've never seen before, meet some celebrities, producers that I've been rapping on their beats for a while, and that changed my life.
And you know,
as soon as I got paid for my first show, I was like, I'll never work a regular job again.
Exactly.
Well, I think what's interesting is that, for one, you touched on the feeling, which is when you aren't doing it, you feel miserable.
Right.
And I think that's also something for people to always be mindful of, like, is what they're doing making them smile or is it making them sad? And so you clearly know that something related to entertainment makes you smile. Also,
half of the time.
Half the time. And also,
there's a lot of self-doubt. There's a lot of depression. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, there's a lot of depression, Gregory.
Music is insane, bro.
Well, so that brings me to another question, which is, why do you do it?
Because the reaction that I get from people when I perform, or just people telling me like, hey, I really like this song, or you know, I just downloaded this. Just the fact that people want me to do this allows me to know that I should be doing this. Like, I'm just looking at it like, I'm getting paid to do this. If I shouldn't have been doing this, I wouldn't do it. I mean, there's like comedians that aren't funny that are still doing it. You know, there's musicians that put out music and only a small demographic, like, you know what I mean? But
hey,
I feel like this is my niche. I've had enough people telling me I should do this.
And you weren't here earlier. I want folks to know that Intellect is not throwing shade at our award-winning advertising
No, I'm not doing it. This rap stuff ain't the end of the line. I want to act. I want to do all types of stuff. But.
So that leads me to, how will you know whether to keep going or to pivot to something else?
I feel like when I don't want to listen to my own music anymore, then it won't be fun anymore. And I think that's it. I think just the day that I'm just like, you know what, I'm not having fun with this anymore, then I'll do something else.
Like stand up.
Right, right. Well, I have a cousin that does it, and every time I link with him, we just have each other cracking up, and he's been telling me for years I should do it, and so I'm about to. I met Michael Shea last night,
okay,
and I got him to chuckle a little bit, so I was like, all right, you know what?
Well, I just want to make sure that you and Asha don't all of a sudden go on a comedy tour.
Why not?
Hey, if the brand's
if
right.
If the brand's right.
Yeah, you know I mean? If the money's right.
Underdogs, it may just be me next week with Kirsten and M.Dot in the studio because Intellect and Asha are going on tour. With that said, we're going to take a quick break and come back with some more Underdog stuff. Intellect, we still have to play word association game with everybody in the studio.
Oh,
talk
man.
A little journey of the underdog. More underdog stuff. Words with friends.
So that's what Ho said. But if you keep playing these games, then shorty go ahead. I guess we'll see where it go. Just know I ain't in all that drama like reality shows. When this way end up, neither one of us know.
Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast. And in the building, we have Intellect.
Hey.
Rapper, writer, and producer. And he's sitting next to his soon to be person who they're going to go on a comedy tour. And next week, we'll have to figure it all out. But in the meantime, like they say, seize the day. I'm going to enjoy the fact that they're both in studio right now and make the most of it.
All
hopefully,
right.
I'll at least get a free ticket.
That's wishful thinking, Gregory.
Oh, see. See how they do. See, hopefully I'll be around, which is the song we just played.
Right.
Coming out of the break.
I see what you did there.
All right. We were talking about your journey as an underdog. The fact that you are happy when you are rapping.
Finally. Yes. Finally happy.
And not so happy when you are not.
Right.
And so we want you to make it happen. And I'm grateful to have you in the studio and also just played some of your music. With that, though, there's other people listening who want to be like Intellect.
Right.
Underdogs who want to make it in the industry. What's one or two tips you have that have worked for you that could maybe work for others who want to keep going after the grind and the hustle and the unexpected fun of going from underdog to on top in the industry?
You have to always be constantly thinking that someone's outworking you. That's like the best way I can explain it. Like, anytime I feel like I'm getting lazy, I have to think that there's somebody else that's been in the studio for like 24 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's, you just have to become a different beast. Like, you really gotta want it in the entertainment industry. Unless you have the right connections to put you in the right position to win, you have to be in different places all the time, bumping shoulders with people who do what you do. That's another thing I could say is meet and hang out with people who do what you do on a level better than you, so that you can constantly learn from them and just be a sponge. Like, when I was on tour, when people were getting drunk and stuff like that, I was just learning, okay, how can I book my shows? Who do I have to talk to book my shows? How is that conversation gonna go? Just learning everything as far as how running a tour and doing my own shows, so that when I got back to Pennsylvania, I could do it, and that's what I was doing. But it's all about just figuring everything out. And if you don't know the information, then just find somebody else that has it and just learn as much as possible.
I love that. We often talk here for underdogs that partnership matters.
Yeah.
So aligning yourselves with others so that you guys can work well together and build together. And actually, right, before you came on, we talked about bartering, where people are exchanging value and services and products with each other. So I love the fact that you not only want to be in the room with folks, but also don't mind if the other people are smarter than you in that room in that specific, right, topic, so that you can learn from them.
Right.
And then I agree with the outwork people thing.
Yeah.
Effort, man. Yep. It matters. And I'm a big believer in
somebody working when you're not. That's, yes, how you got to think about it.
Yes. And I believe that we build our foundation on, if you can find something that you're passionate or curious about, that serves people, that people enjoy what you do,
right,
and then be willing to become extraordinary at it. And so that, to me, aligns with the whole idea of the work ethic. Now, if folks want more Intellect,
right,
they want to hear you, come watch you perform, follow you on social media. What projects do you have coming up? And then how can folks stay in touch with you?
All right. Well, first off, my name is Intellect, but it's spelled Entellect.
And I got music with friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got music on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, pretty much any app that has music streaming, I'm on it. I got videos on YouTube. I got some mixtapes on Datpiff. But right now I'm working on an album that I'd like to put out in the fall or winter, but that's if it's done by then. And I've just been releasing singles like every other month. That's another thing I can say for rappers. Putting out singles nowadays is more important than putting out mixtapes, because people, I feel like, have less of an attention span now.
Yep.
So they don't want to hear... they don't want to go through a project that has 20 songs, because they're going to go through, listen to 15 seconds of it, figure out what they really like, and just continuously listen to those songs and maybe lose track of other ones. So it's better to just put out singles and, you know, get the streams off of those, get people anticipated for a project, and then put a project out. Not just, okay, I'm rapping, and then just put a mixtape out. And then now you have to push those mixtapes and no one knows you.
Yep.
Whereas if you do it on the reverse side and you do a single and you put out a music video and stuff, now you basically have a commercial that pushes your products.
So, marketing.
Yes. Yes. You're a musician. You're your own marketer. Yeah, your own tour manager.
Your own publicist.
Everything.
Exactly.
I love it. A bonus tip.
I got to make a new resume, because now that I'm thinking about it.
See? Yeah. You are. It's Intellect 360. Yeah. Not just the rapper, but the businessman.
I do it all, baby.
All that's not just a business, but a business. Mm-hmm.
Man.
All right. Very cool. And for those who may have missed the spelling, when you go to any of the social media for underdog stuff and for the show, we will have Intellect's information in that feature post and for the podcast, which will be coming out tomorrow. With that, though, Intellect is going to stick around for our next segment, which is Words with Friends Word Association Game. where we say a word and everyone in the studio gets to say three words as their initial thoughts or reaction to it. Now, last week we tried this out and not everybody was able to get to the three words.
This guy's looking at me.
Folks
like...
were saying sentences, giving prefacing what they're about to say. I say a word or phrase, you get three words. The three words can be three separate words, can be a sentence, but three.
Why are you looking at me like that? They can't see you.
Because you're guilty.
Yeah, because people who watched or listened last week know what I'm talking about. Kirsten, I'm looking at Kirsten too because I think she did it too.
No, she was actually pretty good. Yeah, she was pretty good.
Okay.
Okay. Well, then make sure you're near that mic, too, then.
Three is my magic.
Well, then get near that mic, then. All right. All right. We're going to do a quick one on culture and music since we have an entertainer here.
All right.
I'm going to say a word, whatever comes to my mind, and you get to say three words. R. Kelly.
How did I know it was going to be R. Kelly before you even said it?
Three words.
Free hotel stay. Too soon?
No, that. Let's see if anybody can match that.
I'm mad I said it that fast. Like, I've been thinking about it all day.
Kirsten Macklin, can you match that? R. Kelly, intellect, following the rules, gave three words.
Needs to stop.
Also good.
That's also good and great advice. Asha Davis, three words. R. Kelly.
The Pied Piper.
How about doing the most? How about that one?
To say the least.
I actually want my three words to be a Dave Chappelle skit, but I'm not sure I can say them. So on you.
Beep
on you. So with that, I'm going to move on to the uninhibited question of the show, where Asha Davis asked me a question that I don't know what the question is going to be, and I have to answer on the spot.
So this week is a part two of last week, right? So last week was Words with Friends. And if for folks that tuned in last week to our uninhibited question, which was words that make you go, this week's uninhibited question is going to be the opposite. So what words are the words that make you go, ugh, when it comes to the ladies?
Words that make me go, ugh, when it comes to the ladies. That's an issue, a word or phrase, right?
Words or phrases. You know, last week you said sexy. You know, when women call you sexy, that's what really gets you going. So,
and I say when they say enjoy it too.
When they also say when they enjoy it, yes. And so
which
the opposite
that they enjoyed watching watching or listening to the podcast.
That's what he said. if that's what the boys are calling it these days.
Watching me perform.
Me and Shorty going back to the crib for the podcast.
Podcast and chill.
So back to the question. So this week is the opposite. So what makes you go, ugh?
What makes me go, ugh? I would say, what comes to mind? Phrases like, my dog normally sleeps in the bed with me.
She probably kissed him in the mouth too.
So I didn't grow up with pets. So.
You heard it here first, guys. So if you are trying to be in a situation with Mr. Gregory Naismith, make sure that if you do have a puppy, that he does not sleep in the bed with you. At least not when Gregory comes over.
Yeah, and there's some dog lovers out there. For me, that's not how I roll, but there was this one time. This woman, she loves her dog. And her dog, she goes and sleeps in the bed normally. So, mind you, you're talking about if someone asks me, do I love dogs? Mm-hmm. Sometimes my answer is, I'm neutral. And any dog lover can read through that. They're like, you really don't like that.
I love dogs, but.
Because you got to be a really bomb dog for you to like.
Yeah, like, I'm the dude who's like, I'm not afraid of them. I don't mind them. But if the dog comes around, I'm not petting them. I'm just like,
even pet the
whose
puppy.
Man's is this?
Who you rolling with? Like, I'm good.
The man asked the dog, whose man's is this?
So the situation I was in is that literally I'm laying in bed with this young lady who's like, loves her dog. Dog's like, oh, dog always sleeps in bed. At one point, the dog goes under the covers.
Were you in the nude at this point?
I was dressed for bed. Take that as you can. And literally, she's like, yeah, the dog normally likes to lay by my thigh.
By her what?
No. Her thigh.
Oh, okay.
So literally, all of a sudden, the dog is by my calf. Laying there about to go to sleep. I'm like, there's a woman on my left, and there's a dog who I'm neutral on dog laying about to sleep by my calf.
So now you really don't like her.
Yeah, so things that make me go, like, dogs in bed, let alone laying by my calf under the covers, not happening.
My first question would just be, how often do you change the sheets? That's all.
Wasn't my sheets. Was,
no, I know. Yeah. I'm just, you know what? That's okay. I love dogs, and I don't know if I'm as scared of that as you are.
Okay, so you don't mind a dog sleeping by your calf?
No, I don't. I do. I don't mind a little puppy jumping up onto the bed, but I don't want it, like, in the bed when I'm naked. Oh, people can't see the fish. No. Anyway, it's okay. I agree with you.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. Yes. Thank you for answering the question. That is another segment of Uninhibited this week.
So, in closing, I'm neutral on dogs. And I'd like to give a big shout out, obviously, to all the underdogs who listen to us on WHCR 90.3 FM or watch the show today on Facebook Live. We appreciate you. Also, shout out to the underdog team, Marlon, a.k.a. M. Dot, holding it down on the ones and twos, Kirsten Magwood, and Asha Davis. And shout out to our special guest, Intellect.
Yeah, yeah.
Rapper, writer, and producer who was in the building today telling us about his journey as an underdog. And as always, podcasts will be live and ready tomorrow on all the places you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher, and you'll be able to hear everything from today's show. With that, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Thank you for listening to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith Podcast. New content available every week. And I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody.